Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here we go. You're just in time for the most heavily commuted, not to mention most congested hour of the Bobby Mac Show with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loudmouth of the South. Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. My email address, very simply, bob@1063word.com. Keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest is draft. We used to have one for the military, still have one for the NFL, and I suspect a number of Clemson players will be first rounders. And you can say you heard that here first. Yeah, right. 7 minutes after five on this Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday means it's Tuesday with Timmons as we're joined by our new 4th District Congressman, William Timmons. Will, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing great. It's been a busy week here in D.C.
Tell me about what's going on. I'm curious as to, I know that you can request various committee assignments when you come in as a freshman member, and don't always get the electives you want. What's that situation been like for you?
Well, so the freshmen have a freshman representative on the steering committee. The steering committee meets and first populates the ranking members, and then they add upperclassmen to committees, and then they consider freshmen. So there's A, B, and C committees. A committees are Ways and Means, Appropriations, Energy and Commerce, and Financial Services. We did those today, so there was a lot of jockeying for more senior members to get on the top three, Ways and Means, Appropriations, Energy, and Commerce.
I bet.
And we were actually able to get five freshmen onto the Financial Services, so that was a big win. We have a big day tomorrow. Tomorrow we do the majority of the rest of the committees, and being in the minority, it is unfortunate. It's harder to get the more desirable committees. So
sure. Fewer positions available, right?
That's right. So I have to advocate for all the freshmen to the room. The room is made up of leadership and then regional representatives. There's about 30 people in the room, and each get a vote on who is on what committee. So it is a very enlightening process about the different personalities. And I've been very fortunate to serve in that capacity.
Nice. Are you developing some good relationships with the more senior members there?
I am, absolutely. So some of the dean of the House, Don Young, is from Alaska, and he's hilarious. He got elected in 1973.
Wow.
It is interesting. I was thinking today, there's only three members that are serving in the United States Congress that have been here longer than I've been alive. When I was in the Senate, in the South Carolina Senate, there were six. There were six. So
It's
interesting.
Yeah, well, and certainly the new blood, I think, is going to be recognized by the senior leadership there. And it's good that they're listening, and we'll have your input and whatever influence you may have on those committees. I'm looking at the Fox News screen right now, and we're talking with 4th District Congressman William Timmons and William Barr, who is President Trump's nominee to be the replacement attorney general for Jeff Sessions, has been undergoing a grilling by Democrats and Republicans all day long today. Do you think this is going to be a relatively easy path to confirmation? Because we certainly saw a lot of fireworks during Justice Kavanaugh's hearing. Is this going to be an easier path, do you believe?
I think it'll be much easier. I think he's got an incredible record, and I just don't think that the attorney general is going to be as volatile of a confirmation hearing as Supreme Court justice. That said, if there is an open slot on the Supreme Court soon, the Kavanaugh hearings would be they will be dwarfed by whatever happens next.
Yeah, I suspect you're right. And with the continuing health rumors about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that could occur sooner rather than later.
Yes, sir. And Bob, I failed to mention, so we were in steering meetings all day today, and it was mandatory. I didn't have an option. But I did get invited to have lunch with the president. So it was sad that I had to turn the president down, but I hope to do that again soon.
Well, and I'm certain that that they understand the obligations of the office and know that you didn't turn down an invitation to
I made that very clear.
would it have been Big Macs like it was for the Clemson football team?
So I was actually there last night, and there were Big Macs galore. There were hundreds of them. So I did joke. I said, I'm going to wait until we're not having leftover Big Macs.
and from my understanding, the consumption level of the Clemson football players' national championship team left slim pickings as far as leftovers was concerned.
That offensive line can put away some food.
They got some big guys there. The shutdown, of course, the partial government shutdown continues. Mm-hmm. Today, the president also invited the Democrat leadership back to the White House to see if they could find some common ground, to have a discussion about reaching some kind of compromise on this, and got snubbed. The Democrats all decided they were going to boycott another meeting with the president. So as the shutdown continues, you continue to support President Trump's position on this?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the fact that they're unwilling to even discuss the policies around it is very telling of their position. It's a weak position. And I think the American people are seeing that they're not serious about fixing immigration. They're not serious about border security. They're not serious about securing our country. And I think that this is going to come to a head soon. I do believe that a number of the Democrats that are in districts that Trump won in 2016 are going to have a really tough time here in the next couple of days.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, you know, it's the ultimate hypocrisy for the Schumers and Pelosis of the world to stand up there in front of the news cameras and talk about how this would be a waste of money when we're talking about $5.6 billion. And yet, as I'm sure my memory serves, and I'm sure yours does too, they had no problem voting for $40 billion in border fencing just several years ago.
It's just a total lack of honest policy-based. They're just not being honest with the American public, and they're not being honest with Congress. So I'm just hopeful that we can break this soon.
Yeah. Welcome to Washington, huh?
Well, I'm not disillusioned yet. It's only been a week.
William Timmons, who has, of course, replaced Trey Gowdy as our 4th District Congressman here there in Washington, D.C. We're going to do these touch base calls with Congressman Timmons as often as we can here on Tuesdays, especially while the shutdown continues. And we appreciate your supporting President Trump's position on this, because I think the longer he continues to hold out, the more evident it will become that the dishonesty of the Democrats is what's truly behind this shutdown.
Hey, yes, sir, Bob. Thank you so much. I'll see you next Tuesday, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you. That's 4th District Congressman William Timmons joining us this afternoon. Encouraging to hear that he is in full support of the president's position. Coming up on 5:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. There's also been a lot of discussion because the liberal media, specifically New York Times and picked up by the Washington Post and repeated in the echo chamber of the liberal media, has been the story that the FBI actually set up their own investigation into whether President Trump, after having been elected, was in some way influenced by Putin or Russia. Greg Jarrett, who wrote a great book about all the corruption and dishonesty that has existed in this Mueller investigation and the dishonesty by members of the FBI and the DOJ through this whole witch hunt, has written a great piece talking about how the latest reports only confirm what we already know and offer more proof that the swamp, the deep state in Washington, as no holds barred out for President Trump. We'll be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Tuesday.
What?
Welcome back. 5:21 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Word that another caravan is now forming up in Honduras and preparing to make their way northward to Gringo Land, to the border with the USA. You got to love this guy. Her name is Laura Loomer. You may recall she made a bunch of headlines. She had been banned from Twitter because she criticized a Muslim representative, and following her banishment from Twitter, handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters in New York City, demanding to be reinstated. Now, she and a group of amigos she has recruited, who are self-described illegals, are heard chanting, "Nancy, Nancy, Nancy." Laura Loomer and her amigos, reportedly from Mexico and Guatemala, seen in a video jumping over a small wall at Mrs. Pelosi's Napa, California home. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Pelosi has a wall around her home? Isn't that immoral? Jumping over the small wall at Mrs. Pelosi's home in Napa and setting up a white tent on the lawn painted with the word immorality. Ms. Loomer says in a video, "Nancy is a very rich Democrat. She's worth more than $100 million. And she believes that everyone is welcome here, and sanctuary is a human right." Daily Beast reporter, that's a leftist website, Daily Beast reporter Will Sommer at the scene tweeted that police eventually showed up and demanded that Ms. Loomer and the others provide ID, which they refused to do. Ms. Loomer told the police officers, "California Governor Gavin Newsom said we don't need IDs." The group was then unceremoniously kicked off Mrs. Pelosi's lawn. As they were being kicked off, Ms. Loomer yelled in the video, "I'm being deported!" No arrests were made, and Loomer walked off with a warning for trespassing and for trying the doors of Mrs. Pelosi's house to see if they were locked. Mrs. Pelosi has been unavailable for comment about this latest incident. She claimed the guys who were wearing yellow jackets that she brought with her were undocumented immigrants. That would be illegal aliens. Unclear whether that's true or not, but they got a lot of attention. In on the text line 71307, Bobby, why isn't the GOP running that montage of all the Democrat leaders talking about needing border security? Run that on national TV and radio. It beats me. I have no answer for why they don't, because it certainly sends a message. I mentioned also before we went to the break, Greg Jarrett, who has written a terrific book about the whole business with Trump and so-called Russia collusion, to which there's still no evidence, and the Mueller investigation, all being part of a quiet coup. He wrote a piece about this yesterday at Fox News. "Dishonesty and corruption endemic at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The latest proof comes in a New York Times report that the FBI initiated an investigation in May of 2017 into whether President Donald Trump was serving as a covert Russian agent." There's a good use of taxpayer dollars. The accusation itself was ludicrous on its face, but from a legal standpoint, the FBI's probe constituted an egregious abuse of power. The Bureau had no probable cause, no evidence, and no reasonable suspicions. They investigated Trump because they could. They defied the law, ignored or perverted facts, and debased the integrity of a heretofore respected law enforcement agency. Why did these rogue officials commit such an outrageous act of malfeasance? In a word, vengeance. Already incensed that Trump had defeated their preferred candidate, Hillary Clinton, they grew furious when the president fired Director James Comey on May 9, 2017. In reaction, they sought retribution. What better way to avenge Comey's firing than to launch a counterintelligence investigation of Trump under the false pretenses that he committed treasonous acts for the benefit of the Kremlin and at the direction of President Vladimir Putin? Absent credible proof, information could be manipulated to frame Trump, while a compliant media would gobble up the leaks and report the damaging charge. The election results could then be undone when the president was driven from office. To readers of my book, The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump, which is a terrific book, by the way, it spells it out in a timeline exactly what happens. This comes as no surprise. As detailed therein, Comey and his faithful confederates at the FBI twisted facts and contorted the law to absolve Clinton of all criminal acts she most certainly committed in the mishandling of her classified emails while Secretary of State. On the same day Comey exonerated Hillary, his FBI was furtively meeting with the author of the fictitious anti-Trump dossier funded by Hillary and the Democrats. Although nothing in the phony document was true or ever verified, the FBI used it as a pretext to commence and advance a malicious investigation in whether Trump colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 presidential election. They also exploited the dossier as the basis to get a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign, concealing the truth from the intelligence court and deceiving the judges. Over the next 10 months, the FBI failed to corroborate anything in the dossier. Bureau agents uncovered no evidence that Trump had somehow conspired or coordinated with Russia to influence the election. Then came the firing of Comey for just cause. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, Comey's direct boss, volunteered to author a memo recommending his termination for multiple acts of misconduct and serious violations of DOJ and FBI rules in the Clinton case. Six former attorneys general and deputy attorneys general from different eras and both political parties endorsed Comey's termination. Comey was canned for reasons that were entirely merited and had nothing whatsoever to do with the Russia probe. The president was constitutionally authorized to take such action, which Comey confirmed in a letter to his colleagues at the FBI. So they make up stuff out of whole cloth to go after President Trump. And yet, when Ronald Reagan was in his first term, Senator Ted Kennedy, the Lion of the Senate, spelled L-Y-I-N, flew to Moscow to talk with the Russians and suggested he could help them find ways to defeat Reagan in his reelection campaign? You want some collusion? How about that? 529 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back on the other side. When we come back, you may remember yesterday there was a question about the upcoming 2020 census, and whether the census would be able to ask a question about citizenship. I've got an update on that from the activist jurists in our judiciary. That's next here on the Bobby Mac Show. Welcome back. Sunset here on this Tuesday evening. We're halfway through January already. Holy cow, it just flies on by. Yesterday in the program, we had a caller. We were talking about the upcoming 2020 census and whether or not there was going to be a question in there about citizenship. Well, here is the update on that. Unsurprisingly, a federal judge in New York. You know it would be one in either New York or California. A federal judge in New York blocked the Trump administration today from adding a question about citizenship to the 2020 U.S. Census. U.S. District Judge Jesse Furman said that while a citizenship question is constitutional, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross failed to follow the correct procedure to include it in the forthcoming census. Secretary Ross's decision to add a citizenship question in the census, even if it did not violate the Constitution itself, was unlawful for a multitude of independent reasons and must be set aside, the judge wrote in his 277-page opinion. Boy, he didn't have much to do, did he? To conclude otherwise and let Secretary Ross's decision stand would undermine the proposition central to the rule of law, as if any of these jurists recognize a rule of law, that ours is a government of laws, not of men. Yeah, take a look in the mirror, Judge. So there was a procedural error. Okay, fine. Go back and correct the procedural error. The 2020 census won't be coming out for quite some time. Still plenty of time to add it in there. In on the text line, Bobby, it would seem to me that if our president was working for the Russians, he wouldn't be strengthening the military and trying to shut down the Southern Gateway. Gotcha. Bobby Mack, the Democrats explain why there is a stairway to heaven and a highway to hell. Bob, which world leader was Obama caught on a hot mic off the record telling to wait until he was reelected when he would have more room to maneuver? Was that Putin? It was Putin's puppet. Yeah. Now, Bobby, Pelosi's assets are worth $100 million. She isn't worth a plug nickel. Gotcha. Bobby, I'm sure Trump was a Russian agent. Everybody needs a side hustle to make a few extra dollars. I'm sure Trump needed a little extra money. Several billion dollars he acquired himself is not nearly enough. Laura Loomer is awesome. I hope she pays their idiot governor a visit with her guests. Gotcha. Bobby, Laura Loomer was live on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, on Pelosi's front yard, establishing a sanctuary site. And I think that catches me up with the text line and brings me to a seminal moment in the program when we go to All Set Money Penny. Here we go.
Boneheads in the news.
Yes. There we go. Get our Boneheads music in the background. We all know that California is populated by lunatics. Here is more evidence. A guy in Silicon Valley, California, who falls into the category of having more money than brains, is now paying $1,500 a month so his two cats, that's what I said, his two cats can have their own apartment.
He says, I have nowhere to put these cats. I said, well, you know, I got a room. I've been thinking about renting it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, what if I paid you to put my cats up? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, what if they just stayed in the room? I said, okay, sure, I guess. I said, what? Like, what do you mean? He says, just all the time, I'll come visit them, and I live close. And I said, sure, no problem. So I said, okay, well, we'll try it. I figured, you know, cats, you know, they don't have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have attitude. Well, they have attitudes, but yeah, they don't, you know, they don't talk back. So that's
they
great.
They don't?
So I said, you know, why not? So we stuck them in, and they've been great. They live in there. We come see them. We feed them. We keep them there, and they just love, they're loving life. They're living large.
Yeah, they don't
rent to cats or anybody else. I wanted to rent to somebody, and I probably ultimately will end up renting the place to somebody. But, you know, this market is so expensive, and people, you know, care about their pets as much as anything else. You know, they're part of the family. There's two cats, Tina and Louise, very cute cats, and they just stay there.
Tina and Louise, am I freaking frack? So the guy's paying $1,500 a month so his two cats can have their own apartment. Wow. Netflix has a big hit movie called Bird Box. Seen that, Moneypenny?
Yes.
Yeah, Moneypenny's seen it. I watched it over the weekend. It's all right. It's okay. It's supposed to be kind of a horror movie. You know, we're attacked by some aliens that makes you commit suicide. It's a little strange. Anyway, it has sparked already another stupid challenge. The early 2019 equivalent of last year's Tide Pod Challenge is the Bird Box Challenge, where you blindfold yourself. See, if you saw this alien, it made you commit suicide, so they went around blindfolded. Where you blindfold yourself, like Sandra Bullock from the Netflix movie Bird Box, and see if you can still pull off basic tasks. A 17-year-old girl in Layton, Utah, decided her basic task was going to be, believe it or not, driving.
Proceeded to pull her beanie down over her eyes as she was driving down the road.
Can't imagine somebody purposefully doing something that makes them not see.
No kidding.
While driving.
The stakes are so high anyway, but to try and do it in that condition, not being able to see anything, is just extremely dangerous.
This is one thing we never thought we'd have to say. Don't drive blindfolded.
Yeah, no kidding. But that's what the 17-year-old did. They did drive in a Bird Box, but they painted the windows of the cars and they used the GPS to navigate the vehicle. Now, here's another Bird Box blindfold challenge. You have to kiss an alligator on its snout. You have to grab it, kiss it on its snout, and do this blindfolded. Here's some of the audio of this being attempted.
The other one moved. Bend down and kiss him. Kiss him. There it is. Time!
Yeah, congratulations. You're not minus any of your limbs. Kissing, wrestling and kissing an alligator while you're blindfolded. How about this guy in Florida, arrested for cocaine trafficking last week, and on the way to jail, he ate part of the back seat of the cop car. 37-year-old Melvin Stubbs from Homestead, Florida. Cops pulled him over for having windows that were too heavily tinted, found a bunch of cocaine in his car. He's charged with cocaine trafficking, felony property damage for eating the seat of the police car. Wow. How about this guy? An inmate at a prison. This is in Nashville, Tennessee. Let me quickly scroll down. I believe we have audio of this. Do we have that audio? Oh, we've got the other audio. Sorry. This is another guy from Florida, 30-year-old Brian Stewart, facing charges after he got into it with his neighbor last week who threatened to kill him with kindness. But there's more to this.
According to investigators, Brian Stewart was arrested after threatening to kill his neighbor with kindness. Kindness is the word written on a machete owned by Stewart. The Pensacola News Journal says Milton cut the man with a machete. The victim suffered a half-inch cut on his hand.
Okay. At least he didn't eat the seat of the police car. Oh, remember Cody Parker, the Bears kicker who missed the 43-yard field goal that cost the Bears a playoff win? A place in Chicago, Goose Island Brewery, set up goalposts in the street outside their building and offered free beer for a year to anybody who could make it. 101 people showed up and attempted to make the 43-yard field goal. It was an epic fail. They went 0 for 101. So
you can't make that stuff up.
Not so quick to be too tough on the Bears kicker. And the kick was tipped anyway. But, all right, there we go. There's today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
13 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Rock on, brother.
That's what we do for 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday, here on the Bobby Mack Show. 5:52 is what we're coming up on, 8 minutes before 6 o'clock. Now, you missed the keyword for this hour. It's draft, D-R-A-F-T. A number of Clemson National Champion football team members, I'm sure, to be going in the first round of the NFL draft coming up in April. D-R-A-F-T to 72881. You know who's had a really bad day today? The folks at Gillette. I mentioned this yesterday, and it generated quite a bit of talk, and Limbaugh spent a great deal of time on it in the early part of his show today. For some reason, these American corporations feel as if they have some sense of moral imperative to be able to take a position, a politically correct positions, as a way of increasing their business. And in a number of instances, we've seen it blow back on them big time. Gillette is getting killed all over social media for their latest adventure into the world of politics, campaigning against toxic masculinity. Yeah, they've come up with this ad that's been running on social media and streaming on the web, and I don't think they're going to use it in broadcast, but we have a copy of that. Here's the ad that Gillette put together, all right, about toxic masculinity and how we all must change because we're all misogynists. We're all potential rapists.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off, making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed. We believe in the best in men. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
No, with an attitude like that, the boys watching today will be the snowflakes of tomorrow. Of course, Gillette conveniently overlooks that it was many of their own leftists, Harvey Weinstein, all the media people, Charlie Rose et al., the head of CBS, all of these screaming libs were ones that have been found themselves out of work thanks to the hashtag MeToo movement. And they conveniently overlooked that. Not to mention painting everyone whose gender is male as a potential rapist. Well, this has got to change. We must change this. Then, of course, there's one other factor to this whole equation as well, and that is that Gillette also manufactures razors for women, which they market under the brand name Venus, and for which they charge more. I should point out, they charge more for women to buy a Venus razor than they do to men who buy the equivalent razor for themselves. So what? They're reaching out to the oh-so-sensitive millennials in the crowd? Have you taken a look at any of these 18 to 24s? Aren't 90% of them sporting a beard? But toxic masculinity is a problem that must be overcome, and it is up to Gray Advertising, the agency for Gillette, and it's up to the Gillette Razor Company to campaign in opposition to toxic masculinity. Meantime, as I said, they have been catching living hell on social media. And rightly so. In the first place, isn't one of the primary rules of advertising don't PO your potential customers? I would kind of have thought maybe it's not a good idea to run that risk, but that's just me. We'll see where this leads. Now, we've seen this kind of stuff before. Nike did it with Kaepernick, and it actually was successful for them, amazingly. But I have a feeling the blowback is going to be more than Gillette will be able to withstand. Don't believe me? Look at the marketing folks at Dollar Shave Club, who, as soon as this story hit the web yesterday, tweeted out, "Welcome to the Dollar Shave Club." Who do you think that message was intended for? Yeah. Hello, former Gillette consumers. We're happy to have you, and we're not going to preach to you about toxic masculinity. God, it's everywhere. Still one more to go. The bonus hour is ahead on the Bobby Mac Show, and one more keyword for today in the $1,000 bankroll contest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.